Blog Talk Radio.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the star.
Hello and welcome to the Flourish and Thrive radio show. This is episode 3 and I am Kate Hartley, your host, helping you live your best life possible with a selection of inspiring and uplifting interviews from people who have dug deep, been brave and have followed their dreams and are now turning those dreams into reality. Flourish and Thrive is designed to be your seed of inspiration, to motivate you to realize that your dreams truly are within your grasp. Whatever your experiences, whatever your background, whatever your current life situation, you can harness your resourcefulness to live your best life possible. So don't let life pass you by. Jump into the driving seat and fulfill your dreams. Live a life of purpose and a life of contribution. My guests bring a combination of inspirational stories and strategies for overcoming roadblocks and proof that when you really go for gold, you usually find it, so that you, our listeners, can flourish and thrive. You can find me at flourishtherapy.co.uk. I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/flourishtherapy.co.uk. And if I can keep my teeth in long enough, my Twitter handle is at katehartleyuk. My guest today is someone I wish I had met years ago. She is a beautiful lady with a divine message to inspire us and educate us to live our best loving life possible. I am thrilled to introduce you to Anne Ore, otherwise known as the Dating Coach. Anne is the dating coach for single women who are struggling to move on after divorce and instead want to feel desirable and confident so they can start over in love again. She's the creator of the exclusive Ready for Love program, a premium coaching program designed to help her clients discover their unique path to attracting the right person for them so they can find love again and create their best relationship yet. I definitely need her tips. Her mission is simply to help women create the best relationship of their lives. She believes that healthy relationships form the fabric of society, and I wholeheartedly agree with that. Anne is taking part in the UK Dating Fair on the 11th of March in London. So if you're local and interested in going and learning more about experiencing your best loving relationship, take a look at her website and you can find out more. Anne has free resources on dating confidence, a relationship readiness quiz, and finding love after divorce, as well as a love block breakthroughs tab. In tonight's episode, among many other areas, we're going to be discussing how to find the root of what is blocking love from our lives, that our relationship with ourselves sets the tone for every other relationship in our lives, why our relationships are our mirrors and our biggest clues to the missing parts in our relationship with ourselves, and that the truth about finding love again and attracting the right person is not about the external tactics, but the inner work and shift that we need to make in order to find our true love. If you would like to call into the show to ask Anne your relationship-related questions, please call 646-716-7979. Remember that if you're calling in from outside of the States, you'll need to add 001 before the number. So call 001-646-716-7979. So, Anne, thank you so much for being my guest on tonight's show. I'm so delighted to have the opportunity to find out a few love nuggets for myself, being a divorced and still very single woman. And you're going to be such a source of inspiration and information for all those people out there waiting to find their special someone. So welcome to you, Anne Ore.
Oh, thank you so much, Kate. Thanks for that introduction and thanks for having me.
You are more than welcome. So to kick us off in this interview, Anne, I wonder if you'd mind sharing with our listeners what was your inspiration to walk the path of becoming a dating coach?
Sure. Well, I guess on a personal level, I'll start there. I, like many of my clients and like many, many people that I speak to, had probably not the most ideal experience when I was little in terms of, you know, mom and dad and kind of the example that I grew up with.
Sure.
And inevitably, in a way, I guess, you know, I went on to repeat a lot of these kind of destructive relationship habits and patterns in my teens and 20s and so on. And then I ended up getting married the first time around, and that didn't work out. You know, looking back now, that's not a surprise, really. And I then got divorced in my mid-30s. And all of a sudden found myself single, and I really thought the best of my love life, my life almost at that point, was behind me. And I really, really struggled in that time. So that's on the personal side, but also on the professional side is my previous career was in child protection, and I worked in that for around 15 years. And it was really in the sharp end of it. And I really saw a lot of, you know, the pain, the destruction, that relationship breakdown and all these destructive dynamics can cause, sometimes for generations. And it all really came down to the relationships and the things that I was most interested in those dynamics. So I guess the combination of those two, kind of childhood, repeating things through my adult life, what I used to work with, then brought me to the point that I realized that, you know, healthy relationships come down to two healthy individuals that come together and make a healthy couple, right? And then hopefully if and when they become parents, they then provide a healthy environment for their children, and so on, hopefully repeat that cycle. And so the idea around actually, you know, why solve relationship problems if you can work on the single side and the dating side and help people make the right choices for them. I wish I did more of that, you know, more of that kind of work the first time I got married. And that's how the whole idea around, you know, doing coaching around dating came about. And that's where I am now. And I can honestly tell you, I absolutely love it with my whole heart. It is just the best job ever.
Well, I can see from your website, and when I speak to you, you just like, you ooze passion about dating. And it, do you know, it's so lovely because I think dating nowadays has become a bit crass, you know, with all the various online dating websites, and you get people sending strange images of their body parts to each other.
Oh, I know.
And they never even met each other. And, you know, your website, when I was looking through, it was just, oh, that was like, it was like a haven of peace and love and a really, it really offers a foundation of healthy relationship. And, you know, I've been through a divorce myself, and I've been single for a long, long time. And I know that if or when I meet that special person, if I haven't already addressed the issues that I probably need to address, I'm definitely coming to somebody like you to help fix me, because I'm sure I've got some gremlins there.
Oh, Kate, it would be an honour. whatever little gremlins there are, we'll figure them out.
Thank you. But, you know, when you go back to child protection, I think we do. But, you know, when you talk about child protection, we see, because patterns do repeat, don't they? You know, you get, you know, children see their parents follow a certain behavior, and then they copy that because that's what they've grown up to know, and that's comfortable for them. Do you find that as a dating coach you're also spending quite a lot of time actually therapizing each individual, because it's not just a dating issue, is it? A lot of the time they really have got some deep-seated self-sabotaging behaviors.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Kate. It's, you know, I always say, I mean, dating coach, in some ways, it may sound a little bit, maybe a little bit frivolous in a way, because you're thinking about the lighter side of dating, you know, what to say and where to go and what app to use and what site to use and all these kind of things, which are, you know, important in terms of the kind of dating skill side. But I always, and my clients know this, it's my work with them and the work that they come to me for is about so much more than dating. Because ultimately, you know, what's the most important decision you're going to make in your life? It's, for me personally, I think it's the person you're going to spend your life with and yeah. that you're going to have a family with if you want to do that. You know, mm-hmm. a job you can change, your home you can change, countries you can move between. You can jack it all in and go and do something different. But when it comes to choosing the person you're going to spend your life with, it really is, it's just such a crucial decision. So I take this so, so seriously, Kate, and I'm glad you got that feeling from, you know, my sight and the things that I say. But, you know, seriously in the sense that we all, and I have not met a single person that haven't been hurt at some point in their life, whether it was childhood or later on, people who don't have any kind of wounds or triggers or any kind of healing to be done or some sort of habit or pattern that's holding them back or, you know, sabotaging them in a relationship or just something that might be holding them back. And I believe we can all have healthy, mature, happy relationships. Not perfect relationships, but the healthy, mature, happy ones where you, you know, feel grounded and you feel like yourself. I really, really believe we can all have that. But we all have some work to do to some extent at some point.
Yeah. And I think it's having
that's
a willingness
what the work
to
really,
do it.
Really gets to. Yeah. And also, you know, unless you get to the root of what it is for you individually,
yeah.
you know, what is the work that you need to do, not the advice and the tips and the things that you read in magazines and blogs and books and so on. It's
yeah.
the work that you need to do uniquely and you focus on you yourself. Unless you get to the root that's really what's really going on for you. You know, I see people struggle over and over, ending up back at square one after dates that don't go any further or short-term toxic relationships or getting stuck for years in a long-term relationship. And maybe even marriage, you know, I'm talking about myself here as well, that just don't work. And you keep coming back to the things that you need to work on yourself.
Yeah, I think absolutely. And even something, I mean, I went through Relate very briefly. I have to admit, we didn't stay in it for very long. But even those counsellors, they treat you as a couple and it's almost like trying to fill in the cracks that are just way big below the surface. And, you know, I think what you're doing is bang on because you really do need to treat the individual before actually they probably even get into the relationship game because, you know, like we do have those issues. What would you say are the most common blocks to love that you see in your clients?
Oh, how much time have you got, Kate? Now I just love talking about all of this, you know, because I get so excited. I really get so, so excited when somebody decides that they're going to make a change in this area of their lives because I know what's
yeah.
possible once they commit to do that. So, you know, I'm so excited for anybody who wants to do this kind of work. And I wish, I so, so wish I did this years ago. And I mean,
yeah.
you know, years ago. But anyway, it's never too late. But I think one of the biggest things is that people move on too quickly between relationships.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so, so hard. The loneliness and all the, you know, that insecurity and the pain that you feel when you just want to distract yourself from all of that, and whether it's through distraction or your curiosity and you just want to see what's out there, and then you kind of get swept up into dating in a new relationship without resolving the things that have gone wrong before. You know, that in itself can bring in a lot of unresolved issues into a new relationship. You know, lots of things. I mean, human beings are so wonderfully simple and so wonderfully complex at the same time. The way that we project how we feel and all these sort of unconscious fears and worries and desires and, you know, all these things that we project onto another human being that's completely, you know, don't they don't expect any of this, and they don't realize all of this is happening. And I don't know if you've maybe, you know, I've certainly been at the receiving end of this as well, with all this projection is going on, but it's actually got nothing to do with you as a person.
Yeah.
It's got to do with the other person and their stuff that's not quite resolved. And I find, especially in women, we take a lot of responsibility for things that happen in a relationship or things that go wrong in a relationship. And I've certainly done that a lot. You know, where you just take full responsibility for something that's going wrong, and then actually it's not to do with you necessarily. So I think not taking enough time to resolve what's gone wrong before in a previous relationship, and taking responsibility for your part in that, sets you up for repeating that kind of behavioral pattern in a future relationship. So that's definitely a big one. The other one, I think, is, you know, I always say, is your ideal relationship is created in your head and in your heart first. So definitely from the inside out. And this is very much about just saying that finding the person that you're going to be with is an inside job. You know, it's a mindset. And what I see too often is people think, if they just go on the right site, if they just change the app, if they just change partner, then everything is going to fall in place. So there's this real external focus outside themselves instead of focusing on their own relationship with themselves. And that's another big key factor. I mean, you know, all of these topics are topics for a whole proper long show, but I'll just share one more with you, and that's another one that I see, a big one, is ambivalence. You know, I often hear, I'll tell you a quick story that I shared at a talk the other night, where I had a call with somebody who was looking into coaching and so on. And within half an hour, you know, she told me that she really wanted to meet a person, and she felt ready for a relationship. But within the space of half an hour, she did tell me that she didn't like men, she didn't trust them, and that she didn't need a man in her life, but that she still wanted one. And there was this kind of real mismatch between how she was feeling in the inside and her attitude, shall I say, towards men. But still really wanting one. And, you know, I think it's no surprise that she really projected and communicated really mixed messages to men that she met. You know, so just that's just a small example of a type of ambivalence, or somebody that's more committed to their freedom and their career, for example, but they still say they want to have a relationship, but they kind of sabotage it in many different ways. So, yeah, those are probably, you know, top three, but there are more.
I think that's a very poignant point, actually, is the fact that we actually need to take time to have a relationship when we form a relationship, because I think, you know, we all live such busy lives, and, you know, most of us have careers now, and some of us have children, and to try and find the time as well to dedicate to a relationship really is quite a daunting prospect. I must admit, that fills me with fear, the thought that I know I'm already busy, and how on earth would I find the time to, you know, the required time to dedicate to develop a healthy and fruitful relationship.
Yeah, that's definitely a big challenge, and I see that especially with single working mums, you know, that is a very tricky thing, because not, you know, I see a lot of, I work in the kind of post-divorce area specifically, so I get a lot to do with single mums especially, and there are times when that's really, really difficult. And for others, it's a little bit easier because childcare has been, you know, it's been sorted. So there's kind of an arrangement in place that frees up a bit of time to date. But still, life is crazy busy. And it does take time.
Do you ever have a single mum that comes to you and says, you know, they've got a very busy lifestyle and they don't have the child support systems in place? You know, is that sort of a person in a position to really be considering a relationship? Because I'm sure there'll be people listening to this thinking, I would really like a relationship, but I'm not sure if I can manage it. And how do I manage it? What sort of would you suggest to somebody in that situation?
Kate, I think if you make a decision, and when you make that decision, then really there comes a time that you find a way.
Yeah.
You know, and I know I'm not saying that easily.
Sure. No,
it
sure.
Is just, it is, there comes a time where, you know, if you bumped into somebody around the corner tomorrow and you completely fell head over heels, and I've heard this, and you know, it's, and then all of a sudden this becomes your priority, not above your
sure.
children or, you know, something like that. I'm not saying that, but you do find the time, because I think it is, especially also as women and as mums, you know, we tend to put everything and everybody ahead of ourselves.
Definitely.
But this is a really, really big one. But they also, there comes a time where it is a choice and it is a decision, you know, and start to take it slow. Maybe just start talking to a few people online if you want to. Maybe go for a coffee for an hour on a Saturday morning, or, you know, just something. But just start taking baby steps and see what happens. But it is very much a decision and a choice. And like I said, I'm not saying this that lightly. I know how hard it can be, but
yeah,
it
sure.
can be done. Mm.
How is it? Do we attract the right person, or do we go out and look for the right person? How do we know who that right person is?
Oh, that's such a great question. I love it. I personally, I really believe that we don't attract what we want. We attract what we believe, and we attract what we are. So I believe, you know, there's a saying that the water attracts at its level. Water will always, you know, rise at its level, or something along those lines. But it just makes me think of when you do the work to become a healthy person in your interpersonal relationships, then it is about who you are being on that journey. And then you naturally attract and you naturally gravitate towards the kind of people that match where you are up to in your life.
Okay, yeah.
So I very much believe in the vibe or the energy that we all have and that we carry, you know, the things that we project consciously, subconsciously, all the time, consistently, as we just go about our lives. And I don't know about you, but sometimes you meet somebody and you're immediately attracted to them. There's just something about them, right?
Yeah.
And that could be a positive attraction, but it could also be, you know, somebody that might not be that good for you. The trick is going to be where you are up to on your personal journey and about who you are being. Are you a healthy, mature person that's got boundaries in place? You know what you want, you know where you're going, because that's the kind of person that you will attract. If you struggle with personal boundaries and you struggle with being strong in yourself, for example, you might attract somebody that will take advantage of you in that kind of way. Unfortunately. So I hope that illustrates it, but I think it comes back to the point that very strong, grounded relationship with ourselves sets the tone for every other relationship, and the people that we attract, the people we allow, and the people we choose to have in our lives.
Jo, it's so difficult because, you know, we meet so many people in life, and, you know, you might meet several people, you know, within a month who you just think, okay, aside of the fact if they're married, obviously you wouldn't touch somebody that's married, but, you know, providing these people are all single and available, you might meet several people that you get on with, you like them, you have fun with them, and then how, you know, what, how do you make that choice? If you're somebody who's very socially active, you know, how do you know that? Is there a sign that says, hey, yeah, that's the one to go for? Or should you look in your stars? You know, what do you do?
I think, you know, when you know yourself really, really well and you learn to trust your gut and your instinct, mm-hmm. then that is absolutely, you know, a guiding force. And I know yeah. that might sound not as concrete as you would like, but your future partner is probably not walking around with a big sign above his head.
Make that so much easier, you know, if they were.
No. And the thing is, this is so tricky, but there is something I believe that happens that clicks into place, and that mutual investment of time and energy happens that, you know, that brings two people together, and you take the next little step and the next little step and the next one. But, you know, I can also say in my own experience, for example, the first time I met my now husband, who I'm totally crazy about, and, you yes. know, I'm happily married again. He was so far away from the type that I was, you know, I was insisting on, this is my type, it looks mm-hmm. like this, it's all like this, and I was so rigid. And I can tell you, you know, here I am, happier than ever in my life, and it's a person completely different from what I had pictured in my mind. You know, it's so different from what I thought, but it's so much better than I could ever have imagined.
I'm so pleased you said that, because I think we all have our ideal image, don't we? You know, you think you have your checklist, or, you know, especially when you've been single for a while, I think we're all terrible at doing it, but we do. We make an ideal checklist, and we become quite rigid in what we expect of our potential partner. And I love the fact that I know you are so happy, because you just ooze love and everything. You know, whenever I hear you talking about him, it's just clear that you're so passionate about him and that he really is your special person. So what do you advise people to put together a checklist of what their ideal mate might be? Or do you just say, no, you know, just go with your gut feeling? How do you help people define what they should be looking for, as it were?
Well, I think learning to trust your instinct and your gut is absolutely, absolutely up there. And
yeah.
That is super, super important. I see too often, and I've done this myself, again, I'm saying this is so much love, there's no judgment at all here, is the things I got myself into relationship-wise because I ignored myself and ignored my gut feeling. You know, I could have saved myself so much pain. But anyway, so definitely gut feeling, instinct. But I am not a fan of a checklist per se, you know, as
no,
in tick
good.
Boxes.
Yeah.
But I am a big fan of, and I do this with my clients, to really, really drill down and you know, I've got specific processes and fun stuff around this, because it's fun too, obviously. Is to really work out what it is that you want, what it is that you bring to the table, and ultimately how you want to feel in your relationship. Because I think that's the bit that often gets missing. It's because also what I work with quite a few matchmakers, and what can happen, you know, or with dating profiles and stuff, is even the most perfect match on paper that you can imagine, put them together, there's no spark, there's no feeling. But, you know, but they say, but this is what I want.
Yeah.
As opposed to being guided, but how, you know, how do I want to feel with this person? And this is what happened with me and Neil, is, you know, all the other things went out of the window. But I felt the way that I knew I wanted to feel if I was going to be in a relationship again. I felt totally safe with him. I trust him with my life. And, you know, it's those were the kind of qualities that I was looking for. But you know what, Kate? I did write them down way before I met him. But I wrote down the, you know, how I wanted to feel. I talked about things like belonging and feeling at home and that kind of thing. That those were the kind of things that I wrote down. So I feel that it's really helpful to get it out of your head. Write these things down, reflect on them, have it there, but not in a tick box kind of way, so that you exclude, you know, a potentially great match, and really, really, really pay attention to how you want to feel, because again, that matches with trusting your gut. If you're in a situation, you meet somebody, and you don't feel the way that you want to feel. You know, you just get a sense that this is not how I want to feel in a potential date situation or relationship situation. Trust your instinct.
Do you know what? That's so true. Because, you know, even if somebody's just literally totally drop dead gorgeous for you, because obviously everybody finds different people attractive, they could turn out to be the biggest pillock on the planet, and you just don't want to be wasting your time with somebody like that.
Oh, that happens. Yes. And the thing is, you know, it's sometimes what I also see is there's kind of a scarcity mentality around relationships. And, you know, this is as good as it's going to get, especially, and I'm saying this with so much love, because when I got divorced in my mid-30s, I thought, who is ever going to want a woman in her mid-30s who might still want to have a family, you know, lots and lots of things. I had lots of hang-ups, you know, myself at that point. So I'm not saying this lightly, but sometimes what I see is there's this real kind of, especially kind of, you know, maybe women in their late 30s, 40s, and 50s, and feeling like this is as good as it's going to get. I should just stick it out, you know. And the thing is, the longer you're stuck with a person you're not supposed to be with, the longer it's going to take to find the one you should be with, or you might never find that person, the one that's really, really meant for you.
That's one of my
all about questions. Don't get stuck. Don't get stuck with the wrong one.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, actually. Because I speak to so many, both men and women in my therapy business, who are stuck in relationships with somebody they're not in love with anymore. They love from a, I suppose, what you could call a protective sense, and because they've known each other for a long time and they may have children, so they respect each other in their role as mother and father, but they are not in love and are possibly looking for a way out. What do you recommend to those people in that situation?
Oh, that's a really tough question, Kate.
I know, it's very difficult. I'm sorry, if you just prefer to pass.
No, absolutely. You know, it's a tough question, because life can be so unpredictable in that way. You know, somebody you think you're going to love forever, and you commit to each other forever, and things change over time for whatever reasons. And it's just such a difficult situation to be in. It's just so difficult. So, you know, for me personally, I love marriage. I love commitment. I am, you know, I think those things are amazing qualities. Mm. And I find it very sexy, the whole thing, by the way. But you
I
know
love
that's
that.
my belief in marriage and commitment. So I am not somebody that will ever recommend to leave a marriage if there are ways that you can work through it and find your way back to each other, and you know you've absolutely done your best. I must just say I do completely, especially with my background and stuff, exclude abusive and dangerous relationships from that. In that case, you know, that's not included in what I'm talking about now. But, you know, I grew up in a house where my parents shouldn't have been together. They destroyed each other. And we actually asked them, can they please split up? And they never did. And so it's also, you know, in the end, they're not with us anymore. But they, you know, they destroyed each other emotionally and in so many other ways. And the impact on that, you know, of that on us as children is sometimes I don't know because I don't know the other side.
Sure.
But as a child and even as an adult, I have often wondered, would life have been better or different if my parents did get divorced? Or, you know, but I don't know because I didn't experience that side. I was on the side that they stayed together. But, you know, I think if you have done everything that you know you can and you're not just getting bored of each other and just it's just boredom and curiosity to go and see what else is out there, I would, you know, for me that's not a reason to leave your marriage if you haven't done anything and everything that you can.
Do you know what? I think that's a really good time. In fact, I'm going to introduce my song in a moment, but it's called Feeling Good by Nina Simone. But sometimes I remember in the darkest days of when I was about to go through my divorce, and I'd listen to Steve Wright's love songs on a Sunday morning. I don't know if you listen.
Oh, yes.
And there are just, you know, there are times there, and these people are so in love with each other, and they dedicate these songs to each other. And, oh, gosh, it just used to catch me. It still does.
I hear you.
On a Sunday morning, I'm making my coffee and I'll often have a lump in my throat and a tear in my eye because of the love that some people feel and can express so easily for each other. And, do you know what, I think expressing love through either poetry or through music is just so therapeutic. It gets deep down inside of us in places that words simply just don't do. So is it okay now with you, Anna, if I play my song by Nina
absolutely.
Simone and then we'll rejoin after this?
Love it.
Okay,
of course.
Here we go. It's
awesome.
Feeling Good
okay.
by Nina Simone.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm feeling good. Fly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean? Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world, and a bold world for me. Shine, you know how I feel. Spend all the pine, you know how I feel. The freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me.
that song so much. Do you know what? It's never too late to start afresh. And I think that's why I love Feeling Good by Nina Simone. I like a lot of her songs. Most famously was Strange Fruit. And that helped to raise awareness of the practice of the lynch mobs in America's South who persecuted black men, women and children. I discovered Nina Simone from the film Point of No Return, and this is going back to the 1980s, but it's about a girl who's involved in the murder of a police officer while high on drugs, and with the help of some strong and influential characters, she's turned into an assassin, but eventually she manages to turn her life around and goes clean, and with the help of one of her minders, she finally lives a life free from drugs and free from the enforced confines of being a paid assassin. So it kind of reminds me that there's always a chance for self-improvement, even when it looks as though life has become as bad as it can get. Poignantly, there's one of my patients who I visit at home with advanced dementia, and his wife plays Nina Simone to him to help to keep him company and to just help to encourage the connections in his brain to continue to fire. And I've got such fond memories of treating him with her by my side. And we were just all listening to Nina Simone. And, oh, gosh, it just resonates so deeply with me. So, anyway, Anne, back to you. Thank you so much for to listening to my favourite song.
Okay, that is a beautiful story. And it's such a beautiful memory. Wow.
Oh, it's just lovely. I just adore Nina Simone. Mm-hmm. And yes, with my patient, he's just such a lovely, lovely man. And she's such a lovely wife. And they are the example of a very happy relationship together. And it, in fact, it's just so desperately sad to see how, you know, that life is coming to an end when they're so deeply in love. It's just really sad. But can I sort of move?
But that's the thing we all want to get to.
I know. You know, gosh.
When you tell me a story like that, it's just, you know, for me, seeing couples who've been together a long time, and it's just, you know, it's just the most beautiful thing. I just love it. I just admire that so much.
It's from accomplishment, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Anne, can I just ask you about your favourite quote? And if you don't mind, because it's quite long, I'm going to read it out. Is that, unless you know it off by heart, in which case, you're welcome to read it. Okay, well, Anne's quote...
I could try, but that might take a while.
It's by Rainer Maria Rilke. Did I say that right?
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Her quote is, "Be patient toward all that is unsolved in your heart, and try to love the questions themselves like locked rooms and like books that are now written in a very foreign tongue. Do not now seek the answers which cannot be given you because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps you will then gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant day into the answer." Wow. So what is it, Anne, that makes that your favourite quote?
Wow. It's so, yeah. I think it's a lot to do with the meaning that you give to the things that happen to you in life and that you go through. Mm-hmm. And when I turned 30, I'll tell you a very quick story just to explain a little bit. But when I turned 30, I got married the first time round. Mm-hmm. And 4 months after my wedding, both my parents died in a car accident.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was the last time I saw them, was actually at my wedding.
Oh.
And this all happened in South Africa, and I'm here in England. And then about 3 months after that, I had like huge invasive back surgery because I think, you know, my whole world just kind of fell apart and my marriage was already falling apart. You know, this is a whole different story, but within the first couple of weeks after we got back from honeymoon. And so that started a period of about three and a half years of complete, you know, parts of it I can't even remember. it was just really full on, and you know, the grief and all the stress that came with it, and
yeah,
you know, the fallout, shall I say, and then my marriage came to an end, got divorced, all of that in a very, very short time happened at a time when I thought I was going to be at my peak. You know,
yes.
I thought by the time I'm in my mid-30s, I'm going to be at the top of my career. I'm going to have a family. I'm having a fabulous marriage. I live in a wonderful, amazing home, and life is just incredible. And it went completely the other way. So it was, for me, the only thing that got me up from the floor is the meaning that I eventually managed to, you know, give this kind of thing. Because I had so many questions. There were so many questions that would never be answered. And it was all just, you know, it was all too much. And it was just that sense of, if I could just find meaning in what is going on here and what has been happening, then surely there must be a purpose to it.
Sure.
And I must give it that purpose and in how I choose to live my life going forward.
Yeah.
And that is at that point, that is when I came across Rainer Maria Rilke, and I came across this quote, and it was just, you know what? You don't have to figure this out. You don't have to find the answers. All you need to do, and the only thing that you can do, is to choose how you're going to respond to it and what is the meaning that you're going to give it. And, you know, that set me on a completely different path. And really, Kate, you know, I thought my whole world came to an end. And
your whole world did, in an aspect.
Well, I guess so. But you know what? It set me on a completely different path. And all I can, you know, say today is that I'm so thankful and so grateful for being where I am now. Of course, I would, you know, if I could have my mum and dad back, then of course I would. I wouldn't want any of those things to have happened. But, you know, it's just that thing of giving yourself a break as well, a little bit, and not trying to figure everything out all the time and getting answers to everything. That was a big breakthrough for me.
Where did that strength come from within you to decide, to acknowledge that you had that choice to live a life of purpose and to turn it into something that you wanted for yourself?
I've not really thought about it that much, but I remember there were moments where I was, you know, living by myself after I moved out of my marital home, and I didn't have a chair or anything to sit on. I could only sit on the loo.
Oh, bless you.
I had nothing. I had no furniture, but I had a bed.
Oh.
I had the bed. But I spent a lot of time on my kitchen floor. You know, and it's just that point of, I think there's just there's something inside you that gives you a choice. Excuse me, if you listen closely enough. And you can look at your life taking one direction, if you stick to one path, or you can look at your life and realize you can choose something different.
Yeah.
And it was just, but I can tell you, it didn't just happen just like that. It wasn't straightforward.
No, I'm sure it wasn't.
It took me a while. Yeah. So, but there's, I think we all have that inside of us, but we need to listen. We need to listen for it.
You say that you're living, thank goodness, with somebody who does life well now. What does living life well mean to you?
Oh, is that Neil?
Yeah, your beautiful Neil. I can see his
my
halo glowing over the horizon.
And he's a baldy, so it's even more shiny. Oh, well, Yeah, I think when you talk about living life well, it is as an individual. If you're by yourself, but it's also about who you are in your partnership or your marriage or your relationship if you're with somebody. But for me, living life well is when the things that you say you want and your dreams and your desires and your thoughts and your actions and your choices and everything that you do and say, if it's all in line, then I think that's a well-lived life because if you feel at peace with where you are, but you also know that you're making progress to where you want to be, and it's in line with where you want to be, and you're not holding yourself back with it, you know, in some other ways, then I think that's a life lived well. Yeah, I think we struggle when we say one thing and we do another, or we do something but we, don't believe we can really achieve it, or you know, that kind of thing where we're just not in alignment, I guess. That's probably what it comes down to in one word.
Right, listen, Anna, if you can hear my beeps in my computer, I've got somebody who's come through to me on Facebook who's got a question for you, if that's all right.
Yes, of course.
So the question is, what was the factor that made you decide to have a divorce when you believed in marriage? Did you try and save it? And what made you decide to make the move onwards?
Sure. Absolutely. Fair question. It was, unfortunately, a situation of different, how can I say, personal, intimate preferences, sexual preferences that came to light after we got married. And I didn't feel able to join in with that over time.
Sure.
It was just not something that I could envisage in my life. There were also a number of third parties involved throughout. And, you know, on many levels, it was also a very emotionally abusive situation that I found myself in. So yes, there were definitely lots of attempts, lots of ups and downs, lots of drama to try and say things, and we did have therapy as well. But I think, you know, I definitely take my part of responsibility in that. I was definitely stuck in a pattern of, you know, I recognize drama and ups and downs and these kind of things as that's what a relationship is all about. You know, that's what love is. It's you create drama and then it's lots of fighting and sorting it out and then working really hard to keep the peace and make the peace. But then when things settle down a little bit, it starts feeling a bit weird. So create a bit more drama. And then I think what happened is, you know, we got together because we had a pattern that worked for us. And I clearly got something out of that. So I have to take responsibility for my part in it. But it was not a long-term sustainable situation. It was just not going to work longer term. So it was very destructive. But thank you very much for the question. I hope I answered.
Yes, I think you did. And you know, that brings, it sort of boils down to the fact that it's really important to know what our own values in life are as well, because... And ideally, before you embark on a relationship, this is something that I've really learnt to discover myself and to learn what my values are, because I think a lot of us, we bumble along in life and we don't really know what it is that drives us and what's important to us. And, you know, if your values are completely in, what's the opposite to alignment? Disalignment, malalignment, opposition to your potential partner. Then it's extremely difficult to actually find the common ground.
Yeah. And you know what? There's, if I could go back and do it all differently, and of course, you know, this, that was my path and his path, and everything has worked out the way it has. But I never thought about my relationship at the time and even getting married as much as I ever did about anything else. You know, I was completely winging it because I thought, you know, I'm a strong, confident, competent woman. I know what I want. But I did not do this kind of work, Kate. You know, I didn't do enough of the talking. I didn't do. But then again, you know, on the other hand, you do your best at the time. And when two people are together and you get to the point of getting married, then you know what you know. You only know what you know and what you've discovered and what you learned about each other in the time that you were together before you got married. And you know, that's also up to the other person to be honest and upfront about who they are and getting to know each other. But, you know, sometimes I think people aren't always honest and upfront, and that's a difficult situation to get into. I'm actually, there's a side project that I'm working on that's to do with, you know, narcissism and people getting into that kind of very, very difficult dynamics and with certain personality types. Maybe you and I can talk about that another time on my podcast.
Absolutely, I would love to.
You can have things to say about that. So, yeah, but that's just on the side. Thanks again for the question.
It's delved quite deeply, and I do you know what I think also from a potential client's point of view, it's really interesting to know that you've really been through the same horrible stuff that most of the rest of us have been through, because it's easier then to identify with somebody that we know has been there and done it and come out of the other side successfully.
You know, I have to say, so I hear that so often. It's, you know, just because certainly, you know, again, I'm saying this with all the love in the world, is, you know, there's no judgment ever. I have done some terrible, you know, I've made some awful mistakes, and really sometimes looking back, I just can't see what I, you know, how did this even happen? Relationships, dating, you know. I've done, oh my word.
I think we've, you know, all been there and done that.
The lighter end of things, but also the heavy end of, you know, messing up big time. But
I don't think you've got monopoly on that one.
No. But it's really, you know, just anyway, I look back at that now affectionately. But also, again, it was incredibly tough. You know, sometimes anybody who's been through that really big breakup or a divorce, you know, you'll know it's one of the most destructive, difficult things you can ever go through in your life.
It is.
So I'm not making light of that.
No, I think we need to get you back on again, Annie, because you've only got like about just over a minute and a half left, and I wish we had longer, because I bet there's still people out there going, don't let this interview finish. There's so much I want to talk about and hear about. So just to remind our listeners, they can find you at www.datingcoachuk. Is the best place to find you on
.uk.
.uk, okay. Thank you. And what about Facebook? Is that the best place for you or your website?
I think my website, but I am on Facebook, and I already coach, or my Twitter handle is at datingcoach.
Okay.
And I'm also on Instagram.
Fantastic. Well, listen, all links to Anne will be posted on the Flourish Therapy Facebook page, which will be at flourishtherapy.co.uk. Anne, thank you so much for being my guest on the Flourish and Thrive radio show today. Oh, I'm sure people will have taken so much helpful information from this interview. Really and truly, you've given us so much to think about, and I just want it to continue. Well, listen, thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you to your guests as well. Thank you very much, Kate.
Well, it's episode 3 of the Flourish and Thrive radio show. Anne Ore was my lovable and inspiring guest. And again, you can find her at datingcoach.co.uk. datingcoach.uk. Thank you all so much for listening. Go out there and live your best lives as though today was your last day. And until next time, goodbye for now.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.